In the KS Arto Kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, along with Emily Ash Lamb.
Hello, hello. Happy Merry Christmas. Did we already do
happy
it?
Happy Kwanzaa, Boxing Day. There's all kinds of things that are going on after Christmas.
I had my first Boxing Day invite somewhere yesterday.
Well, that's exciting.
It was fun. I did not know all the traditions of what Boxing Day is. It was a lot of meat. I will say it was a lot of cured meats, and they were pretty tasty.
They were pretty tasty. So what did you and the family end up doing for Christmas?
We had a very quiet Christmas, which was really kind of nice. We didn't do a whole heck of a lot. My kids are teenagers, but they still woke up at, 5 a.m. and we're like, get up. but instead of toys, now it's like computer items
expensive stuff. Gifts.
Really expensive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some pricey stuff.
Did you cook anything during the day?
We've had a tradition since I was a kid that both my mom and my dad have prepared that we make Dutch babies on Christmas morning. One of my favorite things, the big fluffy pancake. I have the same pan my mom used, 40 years or something, and prepared it in there with powdered sugar and fresh Meyer lemons from the tree. And that's our morning tradition anyway.
Everybody enjoy that.
Everybody enjoyed it.
And did you make a pasta dish, you were saying?
I did. I made one of those for dinner, yeah. I had a little crab from, I was at Pacific Market, and they have these lovely whole crabs ready to roll. And I made some fettuccine and a little creamy lemon something and threw a bunch of crab in there and some parsley, and there you go.
It sounds pretty wild.
Yeah, how about you? I heard you had a wild night yourself.
Yes, I did.
Steve's tired.
If suddenly there's dead air, just reach across and slap me a couple times.
We'll get you back.
I'll wake up. What I did, I availed myself the days before the rains came, and I smoked about 8-10 pounds of pork ribs.
I thought you were going to say you smoked something else.
No. 4 or 5 hours tending the smoker. So they were great.
Wow.
Wrapped them in aluminum foil, refrigerated them. We had 8 people come over yesterday, the day after Christmas, for a big feast. So we had that. We had scalloped potatoes, my wife's famous coleslaw. I made homemade biscuits from scratch also. And then I did 2 desserts.
I did
a coconut cream pie.
Oh, nice.
That was pretty daggone good. And then something called a Gaston pastis, which is a apple pie, but it uses phyllo dough instead of traditional pie dough.
Oh, nice.
So you cook the apples in advance, refrigerate them, and then bring them out. And then, of course, make sure you thaw your phyllo dough 24 hours in advance.
I'm always impatient about that.
Do that. And then you butter them, and then you fluff them up. You ruffle them up. Put them in a pan. Okay, right.
And fluff up the phyllo dough.
The phyllo dough. They're kind of ruffled around.
Okay.
And then pile your apples in the middle, and then some more phyllo dough. Put them in the oven for 30 minutes, bring it out, and then fluff up some more phyllo dough. So it's just gorgeous, glorious phyllo dough everywhere. It's really great.
Do you do whipped cream or something with it?
You don't need it.
You don't need it. Wow.
No. So it's a traditional French dessert. I'd never made it before.
I don't know that.
But I said, I don't feel like making another pie crust. I'm going to try this. And it was a big hit.
Oh, it was the first time you've made it?
Yeah.
Wow. It sounds very
and
cool.
Of course, I always advise people, never try a recipe out before, especially if you're having company at a big event.
Yeah.
Not me.
I know. I do it too.
Yeah. We all do.
You get excited.
Okay. We're going to take a break. If we're going to meet a young lady who's now grown up. we first met Gabby Moskowitz in 2012. Your dad, John Ash, and I had Gabby on the show because we were intrigued by her blog called The Broke Ass Gourmet.
I love it.
And I love saying a naughty word on the radio. And she followed it up with a really cool cookbook. And we had such a ball with her. I lost track with Gabby, and I didn't realize in the past 11 years, she's not only released several cookbooks, she's had a couple children, and it's a whole new life. Plus, she's done a fabulous TV series.
I know.
So there's lots to talk about. And she has a new cookbook out I'll tell you.
Super cool.
It's dynamite.
It's really great.
It's a great, going to be a great way to celebrate New Year's.
Absolutely.
With this cookbook. And we'll get reacquainted.
Can't wait.
With Gabby right after this. It's the KSRO Good Food Hour, celebrating 38 years on the air. I'm Steve Garner, along with Emily Ash Lamb.
Thanks to benefactors like Freeman Toyota, Reed-on-Sonoma has grown from 7 participating schools last year to 12 schools this year. The number of students being served has more than doubled. 85% of Reed-on-Sonoma students met their goal in the last school year, up from 43% just 2 years ago. Most importantly, average reading comprehension on quizzes is 91%. Freeman Toyota's commitment to these children's future is making all the difference. Designed as a fun and rewarding game, Reed-on-Sonoma motivates students to improve their comprehension and reading habits. Reading is essential for success in school and life. Listen to this. The average fourth grader's reading level has increased by 3.5 grades since the 21-22 school year. These Read on Sonoma students reach the program's goal of reading at grade level by the time they finish fourth grade. Learn more about Freeman Toyota's dedication to educating all our children at readonsonoma.org.
Looking for something new? Try fencing, the Olympic and Paralympic sport that mixes speed, strategy, and fun. It's like chess meets cardio. Quick feet, quick decisions, and a satisfying beep when you score a point. Kids, teens, and adults can start anytime. No experience needed, and many clubs have loaner gear. Coaches teach fundamentals and safety from day one. Find a beginner class near you at usafencing.org/tryfencing. That's usafencing.org/tryfencing.
It all comes down to this, folks.
Yep, the entire season is on the line.
But my throat has officially thrown in the towel.
Sounds like you need Vicks VapoCool drops. They're max strength, hand vaporized sore throat pain.
Whoa! These VapoCool drops hit fast!
Speaking of fast, did you just see that play?
Yeah, he vaporized that ball.
That pun should have come with a penalty.
Vaporize sore throat pain with Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed.
Imagine walking through 70,000 square feet, all dedicated to pickleball. 17 indoor courts, 16 outdoor courts, 33 in total. Introducing Centerline 33, a brand new pickleball paradise in Rohnert Park. Soundproof courts, viewing platforms, a wellness spa, and recovery center. This is more than a club, it's a community. Don't wait. Secure your place today at centerline33.com. Centerline 33, where premier meets play and play meets passion.
Your ambition just met its match with Robinhood. Trade stocks and ETFs, options, futures, and crypto all on one platform. Get started today at robinhood.com/yourmoney. Your money, your move. All investments involve risk, including loss of principal. Options, futures, and crypto trading carry significant risk and may not suit all investors. Securities offered through Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC. Futures trading is offered by Robinhood Derivatives LLC, not FDIC or SIPC protected. Crypto offered through Robinhood Crypto LLC, NMLS ID 1702840, not FDIC or SIPC protected. Portfolio management offered by Robinhood Strategies, an SEC registered advisor.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, along with the one, the only, who are you again?
Who,
it's
me?
It's Emily Ash Lamb.
It's Emily Ash Lamb.
And you know, it wouldn't be right for us to introduce our next guest without maybe a little bit of music. What do you think?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do a little bit of music.
Trucking, got my chips cashed in, keep trucking. Like the doo-dah man, together, more or less in line, just keep chugging on, on, on.
Arrows of neon and flashing marquees out on Main Street, Chicago, New York, Detroit, and it's all on the same street. A typical city involved in a typical day.
Dallas got us all pushing.
Well, of course, Whether you're a deadhead or not, you know that that is Truckin' by the Grateful Dead. By way of us introducing our guest, Gabby Moskowitz is joining us this morning. We first had the pleasure of Gabby's company back in 2012. John Ash and I had her on the show talking about Broke Ass Gourmet, which was her blog and subsequent cookbook. Since then, she's written a number of other cookbooks, had a really fabulous television series that she wrote, and she now has a new cookbook called Dead in the Kitchen.
Once told me you got to pay your hand. Sometimes the cards ain't worth a dime if you don't lay them down.
Yes, this is the official Grateful Dead cookbook. Congratulations, Gabby.
Yeah, thank you so much, and thank you so much for having me. It's so good to be back.
Well, here you are, 11 years later, 12 years later, 13 years later. You have a couple of lovely children now.
I have, yes.
A lovely husband and a lovely life and several more cookbooks since we had you on for Broke Ass Gourmet.
Yes, that's
but,
right.
But you're no longer broke ass, are you?
No, not really. Yeah.
Hooray, you did.
Yay.
It.
That's good.
But, you know, I mean, it's a tricky economy right now. No. And think that I still, despite the fact that I would not identify as broke ass anymore, I still keep that sort of mentality in the back of my mind when I'm grocery shopping. And I still really try to be economical about food because I have children. And I don't know if you know this, but children eat a lot of very expensive berries.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're preaching to the choir.
Emily. Yes. She has two boys, teenagers, and they...
Oh, yeah, I do. And one has taken a real turn towards health and eating wild salmon four to five times a night.
Oh, my God.
A week, excuse me. And, you know, I'm proud of him. But, yeah, it's no joke. They have access to all this. They want to be healthy and the berries. We've had a lot of berries in our house.
The berries and then the various phases. Like, I really try to... not do this, but I still do end up doing it because I'm just a sucker. But my kids will try a new snack. They'll swear they love it. This is the best thing ever.
Yeah.
They are committed to this snack. So I, fool that I am, will go to Costco and I will purchase a bulk container of this snack. And then lo and behold, they never want to see the snack again. Or like, I got a variety pack, and it's there's only one flavor that they'll eat. So
it's
now
the Z-bar, right? They only want the chocolate chip.
Oh my God, Z-bars,
Z-bar.
Yeah. Yes, my older daughter will only eat the s'mores Z-bars, which you can only find at specific grocery stores.
Yeah. I feel you, and I know your kids are, did you say 4 and 7?
Four,
is that right?
Almost 5, yeah, and 8 and 7, yeah.
Mine are 13 and 15. It has not stopped.
Oh, boy.
Well, I love the skeleton on the front of your book.
Thank you.
Dead in the Kitchen. It's a lovely skeleton with a garland of roses on top.
Yeah, it was. So this was designed by an incredible music poster designer. And it's based on the Bertha album cover,
which is a great song.
Well, the not only the recipe photography is wonderful, but all the other Grateful Dead inspired posters and photography. It's a real keepsake book.
Thank you. It was. I mean, I worked with Grateful Dead Productions. This is the band is behind this book, and so that's why we were able to actually put
the
dancing bears and use the real stuff. Yeah.
And did you go to them wanting to do this book, or did they come to you?
No, I am a very, very lucky deadhead and food writer because I, so for many years, I have known the editor at the publishing company that put this out. It's Weldon Owen is the imprint owned by Insight Editions. And the editor used to be the cookbook buyer at Barnes & Noble. His name is Edward Ashmelby, and he started working at Insight and was a huge fan of Broke Ass Gourmet and everything else that I've done. And when the Dead had done a tarot deck with them, they did like an officially licensed tarot deck with Insight Editions, And they, which, by the way, Insight is based in San Rafael.
Oh, cool.
Totally coincidental, but there's a lot of Grateful Dead stuff all over San Rafael because that is where they were headquartered for a long time. So they went to Insight and they said, we've wanted to do a cookbook for a long time. Those who know Grateful Dead lore know that food is a really big part of Grateful Dead culture.
Sure.
And so they felt like there was a lot there, and they said, find us a food writer. And Edward said, I think I know the person.
Wow.
So I, yeah, it was a pretty
what
fun
an
phone
honor.
Call.
Yeah. Are you a Deadhead? Are you?
I mean, yes. I have always, so I say that with one caveat, which is I've always loved the Dead. I've always thought of myself as a Deadhead. But then working on this book, I have worked intimately with some like professional Deadheads.
Yeah.
And boy, there is a level of granularity in terms of, I mean, people who can hear 3 seconds of a song and identify The Weeknd in Chicago in 1976.
This is the amazing thing. I know what you mean. Yeah.
Incredible. Incredible. So,
absolutely.
Yes, but this was a very exciting opportunity as someone who loves the Grateful Dead.
Yeah. And I love what you wrote in the book. You wrote something about, like you were saying, sort of the lore, the culture around it, and that Grateful Dead shows. I went to two, I think, at Shoreline when Jerry Garcia was still alive. I have not seen Dead and Company or anything, but I still listen to it all the time. And but just that whole, like, that it was tailgating with healthy food in the parking lot before the shows. And that there's a real, I think you said it much, much more eloquently than I'm saying it now, but something about, you know, nourishing yourself and being kind. I think the word kind was in there a lot.
And, yeah. Kindness and being kind is a refrain throughout Grateful Dead culture. You know, in Uncle John's Band, it's a line I want to know is, are you kind? Yeah. And kind veggie burritos are a classic. And so I have a few of those. And yeah, I mean, there's a real, so the book, so it's interesting. People who, I will say, I was, I think, 12 when Jerry died. Mm-hmm. I did not spend my salad days, as it were, going to Dead shows. I've been to plenty of Dead and Company, but where, by the way, these traditions have continued in terms of food and what's called Shakedown Street, named after the song. It's sort of the impromptu marketplace that pops up in the parking lot. And the first question Deadheads or people who spent their youth going to Grateful Dead shows ask is it just a book of grilled cheese?
Right.
Because grilled cheese and kind veggie burritos, and then something called ganja goo balls, which are not in the book, but you can, you know, imagine what those are. Those are sort of some classic things that were found in the parking lot. People, sometimes there would be actual paid licensed vendors, and a lot of times it was camping stoves and people in the back of a van trying to make money to go to their next show.
Yeah.
So I tried to kind of cover all of that. But then I also was really inspired by the counterculture food movement, the vegetarianism and health food that really was a part of the era in which the Dead were, I mean, coming up, I guess it's kind of a funny thing to say about like one of the most iconic bands in American history. But so the book kind of honors both. And Molly Katzen, who wrote the foreword, for me, is not only is just such a she's such a special person to me, but the food that she was cooking at Moosewood and she was writing about really captures what a lot of the food you were seeing in Grateful Dead parking lots.
Right.
Well, speaking of the generation you're speaking of, which is me, I owned a copy of the original Moosewood cookbook in the mid-1970s, cooked out of it a lot. Molly Katzen, the Moosewood Collective in New York, was really instrumental. Molly was on the show with John Ash and I for the 40th anniversary edition of the Moosewood. She lived here in the Bay Area for
she's
a few
my,
years.
She's my friend. Yeah, she doesn't live here anymore. She's in Connecticut.
She moved back to East,
yeah.
Didn't she?
Right.
So you talk about the food revolution. We called that hippie food back in the 70s, and now it's become mainstream and very often very expensive food, too, but doesn't have to be. I have to tell you, I've never seen a book that had multicolored rainbow edges of the pages.
I love that.
Isn't that fun?
It's so fun.
This is just so dear, and this is the... Who came up with this idea?
The
different colored pages.
Oh, I mean, the design team at Inside Editions is incredible.
Oh, it truly is. It's, and look at this. When you open the pages, it's like Rod Serling's Twilight Zone.
It does make you want to listen to The Grateful Dead while cooking. It really does.
So I have to, when I got the book, found out you'd written the book, and I opened the book, I have to tell you, I was expecting at least one recipe featuring cannabis. I was, and my question is, during the design discussions, was there discussions about should we include at least one cannabis recipe? How did that?
There was, there were. So, I worked closely on this book with a guy named Dave Lemieux. If you've heard of Dave's Picks, so it used to be Dick's Picks, and before that phrase had any other meaning. And then Dave, he is the longtime
manager
of legacy and audiovisual everything.
He's the archivist, really.
The archivist, right. He's one of these people who, like I was saying before, who can tell you why the key change in the second act, you know, three songs from the end, why Jerry sounded a little different. So, I mean, he's he's truly
deep into it.
Truly deep. So he is also an avid cook, a lover. He's vegetarian, or actually he's vegan, and a lover of cooking, and actually a huge Molly Katzen fan. So this was a really great thing to have happen. And he was wonderful to work with, and he... He first of all was the one who had this idea, this great idea that I think makes the book so unique, to have it flow like a Grateful Dead show.
Yes.
And
I love that.
So essentially, there are a lot of, because the Dead's music is owned by Warner Music, there's a really specific license. The license has some specific rules. And so one of those was that we were not going to specifically talk about drug culture. I did, you may have noticed, I did have a magic mushroom.
I did.
Magic stuffed mushrooms. I managed to get that one in.
But it was not a hallucinogenic mushroom.
No.
At least not the way she made it.
They're just magic. They're magic.
Well, mushrooms are magic.
Yeah.
Regardless.
No. They are. They were pretty specific about not being, not speaking specifically about drugs. So, that was, 'cause that's the other question after people ask me about the, grilled cheeses. Are there grilled cheeses in the book? Then it's like, you know, are there acid brownies?
But there weren't any references.
Right. No, nothing specific.
It's a book appropriate for the whole family.
It sure is.
It really is. And you think of the Grateful Dead as a family.
Uh-huh.
I mean, here's this group of guys that led this really wild, crazy lifestyle, but yet they were devoted to purity in their diet.
Yeah.
Many of them were. Not across the board, but they had respect for vegetarianism and what people were going through during that period of time.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Bob was macrobiotic before it was
Bob Ware.
Cool. Bob Ware, yes. Mm-hmm. Bobby was into that, and I believe is still mostly vegetarian. Mm-hmm. For a while was a vegan. Phil Lesh, who we so sadly lost, he was vegetarian. And if you've ever been to his old place, Terrapin.
And Sarah Fell, we loved it.
Lots of good vegetarian stuff on that menu.
And good music, too.
Yeah, it's true. Oh, I really miss it. And then Jerry did give it a try at the end of his life to be vegetarian. But, you know, this book is not just sort of like inspired by and devoted to the band. It's the Grateful Dead are an incredibly unique band in that there is still to this day an active community devoted to this band that broke up essentially or ended in 1995. And I wanted to honor Deadheads and the Deadhead, like any culture, there's truly a shared language, there's art, mm-hmm. And there's food. And so this book is about food that really was important to Deadheads. And vegetarianism, even though the band was sometimes vegetarian, not entirely vegetarian, they certainly didn't speak specifically about vegetarianism, at the time. But vegetarianism is something that became a common theme with a lot of Deadheads. And so we wanted to represent that in the book.
The new book is called Dead in the Kitchen. It just came out in December, didn't it?
October.
So it's been out a couple of months.
Yeah.
But I think this people start thinking about New Year's. How are we going to celebrate?
Yeah.
We're going to listen to the Grateful Dead. We're going to go to a concert.
We should get
this cookbook.
Yeah.
Dead in the Kitchen, the official Grateful Dead cookbook by Gabby Moskowitz. She's our special live guest in the studio today with Emily Ashlam and me, Steve Garner. When we come back, we'll dive into the cookbook. And you also brought several of your other cookbooks, which we'll talk about in just a moment.
Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO, on FM at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and Windsor, and now at 96.9 in Petaluma.
Homeowners, if you've been thinking about upgrading your heating and cooling system, this month is the time to act. The federal heat pump tax credits, worth up to $2,000 on qualifying heat pumps and heat pump water heaters, expire December 31st. When the year ends, so do the savings. And nobody makes the upgrade easier than Henry Mechanical, Sonoma County's home of the free second opinion. A new high-efficiency heat pump slashes energy bills and helps the environment. Right now, Henry Mechanical will give you a fast, free, no-pressure quote, so you know exactly what you can save before those tax credits disappear. Already have a quote from someone else? Let Henry Mechanical take a look. Our free second opinion could save you thousands and help you choose the right system with confidence. But hurry, appointments are filling fast as homeowners rush to beat the deadline. Visit henrymechanical.com and book your second opinion. Henry Mechanical, home of the free second opinion, keeping Sonoma County comfortable since 1992.
The Feed Store in Sebastopol, independently and locally owned. By choosing the feed store for your animal's needs and feed, you'll receive more than 80 years combined experience in animal nutrition. This is the place to visit. Come experience the warmth and comfort of a good old-fashioned feed store with all the extras, such as fire logs to heat your home, a gift boutique that's as unique as the feed store itself, and a staff that appreciates you keeping your shopping experience local. The Feed Store, and a whole lot more.
Dedicated to every heartbeat, we deliver the kind of cardiac care few others can. At Providence Santa Rosa Memorial Hospital, we're the North Bay's leading choice. Whether it's your heartbeat's rhythm or treating serious heart issues with less risk and faster recovery, know that we're here for you. Our cardiovascular specialists use the latest treatments with compassion and support at every step. Providence Santa Rosa Memorial Hospital. Heart care you can trust.
This is Jason Walsh with North Bay Biz Magazine. We know first responders help people in crisis on a daily basis. It's what they do. But few grasp the effect such traumatic work has on mental health and rates for disease and suicide. Local nonprofit First Responders Resiliency is on a mission to train those heroes to manage stress and live healthier lives and build the world's first resiliency center for first responders. Read how to help them build the center and put PTSD out of business at northbaybiz.com.
It takes courage to farm and ranch through agriculture's ups and downs. With American Ag Credit, you're not alone. We've been there for more than 100 years, and we'll continue to be there for what's ahead. We're built for you and for farmers like Travis Coder of Coder Farms.
Agriculture has a lot of really radical swings, and when somebody will sit there and stare you in the eye and doesn't blink when you're in the tank and doesn't blink when you're on top of a mountain for 20 years, what else can you ask for?
American Ag Credit. Your future grows here. Visit agloan.com for more.
I'm KSRO's Jeff Woodworth with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Following the partly cloudy and cold overnight, we can look to a solid mix of sunshine and clouds to give us daytime highs in the mid-50s. Later this evening, we can look to an increasing amount of clouds to leave us with overnight lows in the mid-30s. Looking ahead, more rain is expected to return by sometime Wednesday evening. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 96.9 KSRO.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, along with Emily Ashlam and special guest Gabby Moskowitz, who is joining us live on this Christmas weekend Saturday morning. Not pre-recorded, not anything satellite. She is here in the studio to celebrate the release of her new book, Dead in the Kitchen, the official Grateful Dead cookbooks. But you have several cookbooks that preceded this.
That is true.
Which ones? Well, we know about Broke Ass Gourmet. That's when John Ash and I had you on the show in 2012-13. Mm. What came after that?
So after Broke Ass Gourmet came a book that I had been thinking about for years, and I was so excited to finally do. It's called Pizza Dough, 100 Delicious Unexpected Recipes, and it came from my discovery when I was at Broke Ass Gourmet that you could make pretty much any yeasted dough bake good out of pizza dough. And, you know, my goal, I'm not a restaurant chef, and I have always really tried to write recipes for people who are maybe not necessarily confident in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. You know, I want my recipes to be really approachable and straightforward. And people are so intimidated by baking, and especially yeast and working with yeast. And pizza dough is so forgiving. And so I wrote a book of recipes exclusively made from pizza dough.
Fabulous. What followed that?
And after that, a few years after that, came Young and Hungry, Your Complete Guide to a Delicious Life. And that book came from, I wrote it around the time when I was producing Young and Hungry on Freeform, which was inspired by my life and my writing. That was a show that was on TV for 5 years. It was about a chef named Gabby in San Francisco and the adventures and misadventures she got into. And so this was a book that complemented that. And it was like kind of similar to Broke Ass Gourmet, recipes for the target audience of Young and Hungry, which was people who were young and hungry.
And you had mostly some name people in that, didn't you? Recognizable. Kylie Minogue?
Kylie Minogue did guest star.
Yeah,
she did guest star. That was really fun. So Gabby was played by Emily Osment, mm-hmm. who younger listeners will know her from Hannah Montana.
Oh, yeah.
She was Hannah Montana's best friend, Lily. And then she's also the sister of Haley Joel Osment, who was the kid from The Sixth Sense and has since had really great comedy career. If you've seen Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, yes. Cheryl Hines.
Kim Whitley, who played Yolanda on Young and Hungry, she played the prostitute that Larry David picks up so he can drive in the HOV lane.
Oh, wait a second. That's my favorite episode.
It's
of Curb
such
Your
a good episode. She's hilarious.
What's her name?
Kim Whitley.
Where does she live?
L.A.
Oh, I wish she could come up and do the show.
I think I have her number.
Oh, if she could just go. Oh, I'm not going to say it on the air.
No.
Some of those priceless lines to you with Larry David. That was, I think, out of the whole run of this show, that'd be my favorite episode.
Oh, that's funny. Truly brilliant.
Yeah, basically, Larry David picks her up on the freeway because he realizes he gets a discount in parking if he goes to the ball game, mm-hmm. if he has two people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, do you want to go to a ball game? So it opens up from there. You should stream that episode, folks, if you don't know that episode.
And Gabby, you got to be on the show, too.
I did. Yeah. I did get to be on the show one time. They told me from the beginning, I was a producer, But the guy who wrote it, his name is Dave Holden, and he. Oh, and by the way, his father Ronald Holden is a food writer in Seattle. Oh,
very cool.
So Small world. Yeah,
and wasn't Cheryl Hines make a? Didn't she do a cameo?
Who?
Cheryl Hines.
She did. Yes, Cheryl Hines.
Who played Larry David's wife?
Oh. That is. She played Larry David's wife. Right. There are lots of roads to Larry David.
Yeah.
She played Josh, who was the primary love interest. She played his mother.
His mother.
On the show. Also, if you've seen Entourage, I think one of the best. Even before Young and Hungry, one of the funniest people on Entourage was Rex Lee, who played Lloyd, Ari's assistant.
Right.
And then one of my favorite people, Amy Carrero, who was recently, she's just been like a rocket ship of stardom lately. She was on the Apple TV show with John Hamm called Your Friends and Neighbors.
Oh, yeah.
She played the housekeeper.
Who, oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I really enjoyed that.
She played Sophia, who is
John
Gabby's
Hamm
best
plays
friend.
A thief. He steals from his friends, basically.
Right, yeah.
They're
right.
Very funny.
Great show.
And then the final book is called Hot Mess Kitchen.
And then, yes, after that, Hot Mess Kitchen, Mindy Kaling wrote the foreword.
Awesome.
And I wrote it with my friend Miranda Berman, who we met through BJ Novak from The Office had this app for a while that was a really fun social media app called List App. And he invited me into the beta to create food lists. And it was the coolest, craziest thing in the beta, which like the beta testing, like all the people who were participating in it were... all of the people, like writers and actors from The Office, and Lena Dunham, and Mindy Kaling, and the writers from The Mindy Project, which was how I met her, and then John Hamm, and like a lot
what
of
a dream.
Celebrities, and then me.
Oh my gosh, how
so
fun.
Emily, you wanted to talk about how the book is organized.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, well, just getting back to your most recent one here, Dead in the Kitchen, I just thought it was so cool how your chapters are listed like a Dead show. You know, they go from the lot, dishes inspired by the parking lot fare, to the dressing room, dressing, sauces and condiments, opening act, tuning up, first set. And I think my favorite was, I loved the riff break where you just sort of take like, hey, do you have a pot of rice? You know, what can we do with this? What can we add? Which certainly as moms and busy people, it's nice to go, what's in the cupboard? What can I make quick? And anyway, it was a really fun progression there.
I'm so glad that you, first of all, I'm so glad that you caught the mom connection to the riff break, because that is, it is truly how I live my life.
Sure.
I don't know what to have for dinner. I don't know who's eating what this week and when we're getting home from Taekwondo and ballet.
Amen.
But I'm just going to turn on the oven and start cooking some rice and see what happens. So that is one of my proudest parts of this book.
Yes.
When Dave Lemieux and I were going through what the book should feel like in terms of this progression.
Yep.
You know, some of it, like I said, well, you know, we have to have a sauces chapter and we have to call it the dressing room. And so some of it was kind of punny and cute, but also the dishes ramp up like the first act of a Dead or the first set of a Dead show does ramp up in intensity and complexity to the second act. And so we were like, okay, weeknight dinners for the first set and then longer, more involved meals for the second set. But then what are we going to do about the heat? You know, I said, well, I don't know what we're going to do about this improvisational part. And I, because drums in space, if you've ever been to a Dead show, it is a, it's a percussion, improvised percussion period, often dovetailing with the peak of certain substances for some people. For other people, it's just a bathroom break, but it's an iconic part of any Dead show.
Which could also be a peak experience.
Dead and Company does it as well. And I was like, improvisational cooking is the way that I cook.
Absolutely.
And it's also, it's the kind of thing where if you don't know how to cook improvisationally, I want to teach you. And so this was a really fun opportunity to show people all of the riffs that you can make with something basic. So instead of having a standard recipe for a dish, I have a standard recipe for something very simple, like one is a block of tofu that you turn into just like crispy tofu. Then I have a ball of pizza dough and literally a pot of pasta. And then I give you some riffs, all the different directions you can take those things.
So. Which I love that. That seemed really unique to me, to start with something and then go, here's something you can do. You can turn these potatoes into tacos. You can turn them into a pesto potatoes. You can turn them, to start with one thing and then just all the different ways you can go depending on what you have was like, I loved it.
I immediately turned to the side dishes. Side dishes. I could just live on side dishes. Mm-hmm. That was on the tuning up section.
Mm-hmm.
So brown butter, gochujang, Brussels sprouts.
Oh, side dishes are...
Side players. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
But that's your kind of side dishes, aren't they? But that can be side dishes or a main course.
Sure.
The brown butter, gochujang, Brussels sprouts. That sounds just fabulous. But you had... some seeds to that, which is pretty cool.
Pomegranate seeds.
Yeah. Which I thought that really elevated it. Sesame noodles with pickled carrots and cucumbers.
Mm.
And quick and easy to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then I was intrigued by your cheddar chive biscuits. I make laminated biscuits and have for 20 years or so. Mm. But I like how you stack yours. You cut and stack into fourths. So you're building these layers by stacking and then rolling. So the picture was beautiful. These really rose beautifully.
Thank you. Yeah. I got converted to square biscuits a few years ago. And also this method of, you mix up your biscuit dough, try to, with everything super cold.
Yeah.
And then you kind of pat the dough into a brick and cut it into quarters and then stack them on top of each other and press them down. You do that process a few times. And
it's
just
interesting.
So layered.
Because I made... 38 biscuits yesterday doing laminated for a group of people, and I did the envelopes, five, six layers. But I thought, stacking, that might save me a little time.
Give it a try.
I'm going to do the stacking. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. A little bit more before we say goodbye to Miss Moskowitz. She'll be back another 11 years or so. No, it's going to be sooner than that. Dead in the Kitchen is the new book, the official Grateful Dead. Sometimes you see the unofficial, but this is the official Grateful Dead cookbook. Emily Ash Lamb, my co-host in the kitchen.
Simpson Sheet Metal is helping local kids become million-word readers through Read on Sonoma. 85% of students met their reading goal this year, nearly double from 3 years ago. Our students read more than 591 million words, more than twice the national average. A special shout-out to Kenwood Elementary, the first school where all students met their reading goal. Congratulations and keep up the good work. Here's Barbie Simpson, owner of Simpson Sheet Metal.
One of the things I cherish most in my life is my grandkids. Spending time with them gives me such great joy. As they've grown, I've seen their reading skills and comprehension increase, along with their interest in the world around them. Being a grandparent is one of the greatest joys of my life.
Children who learn to read at grade level by third grade are more likely to graduate from high school and overall do better in life. Simpson Sheet Metal and Read on Sonoma, dedicated to improving children's lives in Sonoma County. ReadOnSonoma.org.
Starting your own business can be challenging, but Exchange Bank is here to help. Hi, I'm Jim Curry, branch manager at Exchange Bank, where we invest in Sonoma County. That means helping local businesses to get started and keep growing. A small business loan from Exchange Bank can make all the difference when you're getting a new business off the ground and as you meet the challenges along the way. Here's Drea from DH Wine Compliance.
Since 2011, we've trusted Exchange Bank to help grow our business. From a line of credit to a commercial loan for our new property, they've been there every step of the way. Customer support is always fast, friendly, and thorough, and we love the personal touch we get. With Exchange Bank, we're confident we've got a partner we can count on for years to come.
If you own or are starting a small business, Exchange Bank is here for you. Visit exchangebank.com for more information. Exchange Bank, investing in Sonoma County since 1890. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 643948. All loans are subject to credit approval.
Looking for something new? Try fencing, the Olympic and Paralympic sport that mixes speed, strategy, and fun. It's like chess meets cardio. Quick feet, quick decisions, and a satisfying beep when you score a point. Kids, teens, and adults can start anytime. No experience needed, and many clubs have loaner gear. Coaches teach fundamentals and safety from day one. Find a beginner class near you at usafencing.org/tryfencing. That's usafencing.org/tryfencing.
Saturday mornings at 8:30 on KSRO. It's Recovery Radio with Dr. K. Dr. Kristen Kolbinski from CPDAC discusses holistic approaches to substance abuse according to individual needs as CPDAC treats people of all ages and backgrounds working to break cycles of poverty, homelessness, and unemployment. Recovery Radio with Dr. K. Saturday mornings at 8:30 on KSRO. More information at KSRO.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Oh, Steve fell asleep.
No,
he did.
Didn't.
He had Emily snapping at him.
We were talking a million miles a second, and I wasn't listening. I apologize. Gabby Moskowitz is joining Emily and I. Her new book is Dead in the Kitchen. Any deadhead must have this book, or would-be deadheads, or just someone that loves great color and beautiful vegetarian recipes, the official Grateful Dead cookbook. You made something, Emily.
I did. I got inspired, Gabby. I did. I tried to make the mushroom bacon garlicky grilled cheese. Mm-hmm. And I did. I had to do a little riffing just because I couldn't find King Trumpets. I tried portobellos. Which were a little too liquidy, and I was telling you might have been why they didn't dry quite right, but the rub or, you know, all was delicious. They tasted great. I don't think they did exactly what the intention would have been if I had found the right mushroom, but
the King Trumpets are like a pretty dry mushroom, which especially the big ones.
Right.
Big ones are almost, in my opinion, a little too dry for a lot of other preparations.
Yeah.
But they make nice fake bacon.
Yeah. Well, I have to say I liked it this morning. I checked out what I had left over and I pulled them out and I had put them in the fridge with just a little paper towel because I wanted to try to keep absorbing a little bit of the moisture. But it truly looked like bacon. They looked like bacon. They had like, you know, and this recipe is great. It's got like the smoked paprika. It has olive oil in there, brown sugar, little salt and pepper and things, but it had a nice, really nice flavor. And yeah, and like I said, my husband and I were hungry, so we were a little impatient with waiting for it to dry. But we had a nice whole grainy bread that we cut, and I again had to riff a little that I didn't have cheddar, but I had Gruyere, so we did it with Gruyere, which was pretty
what could
killer.
Be bad.
So you know, it was delicious. It was great.
Tell me,
really hearty.
What did you think about the garlic salt on the crust? Have you ever had that before?
When you were talking about pizza, I put garlic salt on my pizza crust always, so it reminded me of that.
Oh,
and I like
God.
To put herbs and garlic salt on my pizza crust, which my older son, Leo, it's like his favorite thing. So it kind of reminded me of that.
I love that. That's like it's like a garlic knot at the end of your pizza.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that.
A lot of people, and I noticed with my kids, they would eat all the good part and then they'd kind of leave the crust, which then became my dinner. And I was like, what can I do with all these crusts? So then when I started putting a little olive oil and a little garlic salt and some herbs, they started eating the whole thing. So
I love it.
That'll be appearing in Gabby's next cookbook.
Yep.
Well, my agent has, it's funny you said that, because he's tried to get me a few times to write like a kid's food book. And I always say, I need you to understand, right now, my kids eat weird food. It's not a whole book's worth, but maybe like mom snacks, the things you can make from your kids' discarded leftovers. I mean, every mom does it.
Every mom does it. I got a lot of ideas for that
one. You and Emily together.
Yeah, we could put one together for sure.
For sure, yes.
Okay, we're down to the end. Did you look at desserts at all? Of course, I go right to the dessert
section. I did
look
at desserts.
I love carrot cake, but I love the amped up carrot cardamom cake with the cream cheese. And what you do is you roast and puree the carrots. Never thought about this.
It is so good. It is so, there's a Brazilian carrot cake where they puree raw carrots, which I love the technique, especially if you have a high-speed blender. But I kind of thought, how could I take it even to the next level? And the carrots caramelize, and you get this just like pudding-like texture. Mm. It's incredible.
Okay. Yeah. A lot of people love carrot cake. This would be worth it in the dessert chapter. We got about 30 seconds. Anything you want to add, Emily?
The caramel shortbread bars. Mm. I mean, and I think in general, I just want to say, like, what I love about the cookbook, it feels, I think you sometimes hear vegetarian or vegan, and I think a lot of people go, I'm going to be hungry. Mm-mm. It's just a side dish. It's just a salad. But everything in this book is, like, hearty. It's filling. And I think you won't feel gross afterwards, you know?
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah, that was the idea. I wanted this to be food that is not just good for you, but also, and good for the earth, but also really enjoyable to eat.
Yeah, and in true Dead form, to share.
Yes, right? Big time. Yeah.
Have a wonderful new year.
Thank you.
Great seeing you again. You live just a few minutes away. Hope to see you again soon.
I hope so, too. Thanks so much.
Emily Ashland, well, I'll see you next year.
I'll see you next year,
weird to say,
Steve.
Isn't it?
Whoa, here we go, 2026. Okay.
Thanks for listening. I'm Steve Garner. Have a safe and beautiful new year. We'll see you next year.
Hi, it's Dennis from the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market at Luther Burbank Center. I'd like to talk a bit about our market. Sure, we have great coffee, crepes, salsa, sausage, fruits, veggies, crafts, and much, much more. But to me, it's what you can't buy that makes the market special, and that's the